Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, my friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting again, and to the Saucer Pod. Time whips by these days, and again, I find myself here doing another radio broadcast. We're in the Saucer Pod this evening, tracking the approach of these coming hurricanes rotating over the ocean in Spanish subtitles of Ignacio and Jimena. Or so I thought, but Jimena is now Hurricane Keto, apparently, but then I saw Jimena again. I don't know. I know a lot of hurricanes have come and gone around here, and my dwelling seems to have weathered them in the past, so I'll go with that for the moment. It's neat to be able to fly in and out of hurricane winds and even hover in the midst while watching the weather splash up against the wraparound windshield here. That's a good thing about extraterrestrial technology. Technologies that long ago left behind the crude mechanics and coarse fuels of this backward technologies of Earth. We prefer this kind of hurricane riding as opposed to the man-made hurricanes taking place in Yemen and other parts of the globe where the parasite Zionist satanic banker cabal wages war against mostly defensive residents of lands they have no business being in. The arrogance of these forces is amazing. One notes this in the Ukraine, where the Zionist Nazi occupying force has even gone so far as to import members of their kin into the country to govern in various sectors. The way they measure right and wrong is that if you can get away with it, it can't be wrong. It's a variation on that might make right theme. And, of course, you're dealing with a strain of creature that is absolutely devoid of conscience. This makes it interesting any time diplomacy is employed in matters of life and death across the spectrum of those possibilities of occurrences, whether they be economic, social, or involving actual conflict between opposing forces, financed on both sides by international bankers for the purpose of financial profit. The psychopaths don't care about moral issues or whether peace and potential prosperity are more desirable than extermination, violent rape and rampage, torture and sundry, as permitted and performed by these types or their agents operating under orders from these types. It's a hard thing for most people to be able to get their minds around when they try to understand why people would do the things they do. Why powerful men like George Soros would finance conflicts around the globe, which cost the lives of thousands, and also finance just about every alternative sexual organization, with the primary intention of destroying the culture in every location where he is doing it. That this is so easily seen by the evidence, and according to the cosmic stricture, by their works you shall know them, clears it up, I think. The man is a monster of epic proportions, yet he and his henchmen partners and peers from Goldman Sachs to the nation of Israel simply carry out acts of utter depravity without hindrance against the human race wherever and whenever they feel like it. It's not really about the money and power. They already possess enormous amounts of both. The truth is, it is about maximizing human suffering in order to feed the appetites of the demonic entities that they serve. They do it all because they enjoy it. You might well ask, how could anyone enjoy these things? They are not like you. They have no conscience. Men like all the Bushes and Obama, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Rumsfeld, they have no conscience. Women like Hillary Clinton, Condoleezza Rice, Madeleine Albright, and far too many others have no conscience. Weaker and more delusional minds are being pushed to the breaking edge by the chaos of these times where there seems to be no succor or sanctuary, so that they are picking up guns and engaging in random shootings. They're killing the families and themselves. On the one hand, they're losing themselves in all kinds of hedonistic pursuits, and never was there a time before when there was such a smorgasbord of selections to choose from. Others are simply going through the motions of a controlled existence, hoping that an addiction to routine will keep them safe. Millions are flocking to bankrupt religions or running away from them because all truth and authenticity has been lost. These are very difficult times. As we have said many times, we all wish we lived in better times, but we are where we are, and our concern should be on being better people. I know what it's like, folks, to seemingly be walking through the land of the living dead. You pass by people and they don't see you, or they see you and they don't see you. The news is all bad, and the news is almost completely all lies. So it makes you wonder if maybe the news isn't all bad. It can't be good so long as the power to operate and continue as they do is still, for the moment, loaned out to the agents and agencies of the dark side. If you don't like that, the whole movie is scripted. Well, it can be disheartening. I mean, what I mean is, if you don't know that, it's like standing on the Kansas prairies, and on all sides you see storm clouds and tornadoes threatening in the distance. It presses on one's state of being. It doesn't matter if the moment seems calm, because you know those storms and tornadoes are out there. Do any of these phenomena relate to you? Are they real all by themselves, or are they only as real as we make them? Is this world of doomed and temporary forms real? Are the events that take place here real, or are they simply a kaleidoscopic twisting of shapes moving back and forth in shadow play? What is the meaning of the word real? I sit here and I look around me, and it seems like I'm sitting here, and maybe I am, but I have to ask myself, am I seeing everything as it actually is, or am I seeing it according to what I have told myself it is? I want to move to the essence of what I am trying to say here, and let me preface it with a repeat of what I just said, which is, what am I trying to say here? There is no guarantee that I'll be successful at it or that I'll be able to communicate it with the necessary intensity. I don't want to scream and jump up and down like some hopped-up evangelical preacher with a couple of handfuls of rattlesnakes caught up in the fury of the certitude of my rightness with the moment. I don't feel that way, but I can see where that sort of intensity, given that it was inspired by the source which communicated it to me, of what a singular value it is, it might call for that degree of drama as a framework for presentation. I'm talking about self-inquiry, which is a term that you have probably heard often enough to cause your eyes to glaze over like a Krispy Kreme donut. And that's the problem, because self-inquiry covers a lot more territory than what you get from a glaze over about two words. I'm able to talk about self-inquiry because partway through this program, I felt that imperceptible tap on my shoulder, which wasn't a tap on my shoulder. It was a door opening in my mind and a presence entering and saying to me, why not let's talk about self-inquiry and about how fundamentally important it is? If you want to find the ineffable, then you first have to find yourself. You yourself are the key that opens the door to the ineffable and which allows you to speak about the ineffable in a sincere and moving fashion without having to jump up and down as if there were some unknown force goosing you from behind with no warning and no identification either. It could be anyone or anything. But a lot of people tell themselves it is the Almighty because it serves their purposes. We like to believe what we want to believe, because it gets us where we think we want to go. And all of that is because we think we know who we are, and that person we think we are wants this and that based on whatever the construct of our personality is based on, because of the way our planets got arranged or were arranged at the time we came in here, based on the creation conditions and events to best expedite our karma from life to life, according to the speed of the need, the ineffable is determined will work best for us. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way, when we are not working in concert with our better angels. That requires some amount of work on our part, conscious work, and that means self-inquiry and a focused devotion, because when you demonstrate a love for the ineffable is helpless in the face of it and must respond to the degree of the intensity that is demonstrated by the one offering up their love to the author of all things. Many times in Scripture, we are told that we are the children of the Most High. We are told that our existence was authored by the Almighty. He made us for the purpose of our experiences, dovetailed toward the discovery of the divine being within. We are made for the purpose of demonstration on the manifest plane, and through all the extended time of it, the ineffable is seeking us. The ineffable is seeking to return us to that bright kingdom from which we originated and which we are heir to. Self-discovery and self-inquiry is all about finding the divine within. Once we have made the necessary connection to the One, it's like being a fish with a hook in its mouth, and the ineffable is the fisherman. He lets the line play out, and when we cease to resist the pull, he reels us in. And this dynamic repeats as the fish begins to fight again. Eventually, the hand of the ineffable pulls us in and out of the dark waters of material experience into the rarefied realms of the ever-refined worlds of the spirit. Or ever more refining, as it were. This is not only possible, but inevitable for us. When I say inevitable, I mean finally, after lifetimes of fighting the hook, we get pulled in. But at what a cost of suffering along the way. Doesn't have to be like that. The simple knowledge that we are intrigued by the Almighty is evidence that the Almighty has shown an interest in us, because we would not be drawn at all unless the ineffable permitted and initiated it. It is right to feel a great pity for those who are not touched and who are allowed to go on about their pursuits and whatever heartbreak and mayhem follows in their wake. People like George Soros and others we have mentioned today, those who are caught up in doing harm to others simply because they enjoy causing torment or they want to fatten their bank account. A great summing up, my friends. A harvesting is on the horizon. And due to lifetimes of personal pursuit in either direction, we are being called to spiritual locations that are resonant to the quality of our character. And we will, sooner than we think, arrive somewhere. And in both cases, it is going to be well beyond anything our imagination may have projected about it before our arrival there. There are spiritual worlds for every type of person presently existing here. There are worlds of joy and wonder, of which no words have the capacity to define. There are also worlds of horror and woe. And where you wind up has everything to do with what you discovered or created out of yourself. Did you seek out the essence of your being? Or were you shaped to darker ends by forces unknown to you? When people do evil things, it is because of the commission of such acts were made to seem reasonable to them, because their consciousness was shaped to that end. Are these acts acceptable to their real self? Of course not. But their real self has been muffled like a smothered child. It is covered over by the darkness of their accumulated crimes. These are the ones we should feel compassion for, even as they strut and fret their hour on the stage, filled with all the illusions of their imagined power and prestige. They have been allowed and even encouraged for the purpose of it, because it is all a drama that is being performed before the eyes of the world. Eyes that are open and eyes that are partly open and eyes that are wide shut. The more self-inquiry that you put your attention to, the more your eyes open, your inner eyes, and you can see within the same way as everyone else can see what is outside of them. But either way, you are still seeing inside. Your physical eyes appear to be seeing the world as an extension, but you are seeing all of it inside your head. There's a reason that Socrates said, "Know thyself." There's a reason that so many other teachers said something similar. These were all people who performed dramatic acts with their lives that impacted so strongly on existence that we remember them today. The power and beauty of their thoughts and words have echoed through the centuries because their words and their thoughts and actions were like the evergreen leaves which bloom upon and fall from a tree that lives forever. And these are the fruits of the discovered self that has opened the conduits of wisdom within. They have become a fountain for the ineffable, inspired by the angels and muses of the higher worlds of being. Otherwise, it's just the pedestrian chatter of the walking dead, caught up in the banal music of the sounds of their own voices, like peacocks fanning their glorious tails, in vain performances that are simply amusing to those who know better. All right, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, travel with conviction into the lands of your inner being, for it is there that the ineffable resides, the silent witness who awaits your recognition and who, in all kinds of small and often unrecognized ways, is trying to reach you at every turn. That said, alhamdulillah, greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, much love, Lady Nature. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Carry on, Baha'u'llah, aloha, and haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.